What's happening? You tell us. Hashtag 702 listens.
14 minutes past two, and here's my conversation with author and mind and soul expert, Brandon Bays. Let's talk about the journey intensive, the journey method, because it came about from your own experience of healing from a large tumor. You describe it as a basketball sized tumor in your uterus. And I just had to look back at the book, to remind myself, as you say, you woke up that morning in the summer of 1992 and realized, and you say, I finally had to face whatever it was that had made my tummy grow so large over the last few months. And I mean, that is news that would shatter or make anybody kind of nervous and scared. And you share this journey, yes, and you document it in your book, The Journey. So,
yes,
for those that haven't read it, because I read it many, many years ago, about 10 years ago, but it hasn't left me, just as a principle in how we have the ability to heal ourselves, which we'll get to talk about. But in essence, how would you summarize what you share in that book?
Well, The Journey is a method originally that was born from my own direct living experience of healing from that large tumor. But over the years, over the last 25 years or actually more, 26 years, as I've worked with hundreds of thousands of people around the world, I've seen what works and what doesn't work. And so now The Journey is being used by medical doctors, by ministries for education, by people from all walks of life around the world. And it's a method that gives you the ability to go inside your own body and uncovered something that is called repressed cell memories. And what we know about emotions and our cells is this, is that science has found is that when you feel a strong emotion and you repress it, it releases a quantifiable biochemistry into the bloodstream, which will go to certain cell receptors and block them, rendering the cells incapable of communicating with the rest of cells in the body. And if over time illness happens, it happens where the cells are blocked. And conversely, what we know about the emotions is that when we feel them naturally, very openly, like a child does, our cell receptors remain open. As a matter of fact, if you get on the Center for Disease Control's website, which is the most powerful medical body in the world, it says that 85% of all illness has an emotional basis. And the reason they can say that is because of all the work that's going on right now, mm-hmm, in the field of cellular healing. And so what the journey method allows you to do is to go on a journey inside your body to get to these blocked cells, mm-hmm, to uncover the old cell memory there, the old pain, to go through a process of release of the not only the pain, but the unspoken words, all the buried consciousness. And you go through not only releasing that, but understanding what's happened and ultimately forgiveness. And mm-hmm, that's when you let go of your story of pain, so that when new cells are born, they're born devoid of that old consciousness, right, devoid of that old programming, as new regenerative cells.
Wow. So that's in a nutshell is what the journey is. So there's a transformation.
Yes,
it doesn't,
yeah,
happen in one moment or in one experience. It happens over multiple experiences. So when someone decides to go on this journey, to go on this road of transformation, and they open and they are a willing person, what can they expect to experience?
Well, the thing that happens when people come to a journey intensive, very often, they actually have their ducks in a row. They're fairly confident in life, and yet they're aware that something is missing. Or they may be experiencing anxiety or stress or burnout or depression. And they will have done so many other methods. And when they come to the journey, it helps you get to the emotional root cause of what has put your surface issue in place. And no amount of analyzing it or trying to figure it out with your mind can really help you go through a process of transmuting that issue. And so you are right. For myself, for instance, ever since that time, I get a journey process once a week when I'm on tour. I never want to be so arrogant as to say I've got it all handled. I know there's more than one cell memory stored inside. And I want to really continue to clear anything that might block me or obscure me or hold me back in life. And having said all that, even though, you know, it's for all people of all walks of life, I'm on the board of directors for an oncology center in two different hospitals in Tel Aviv and for a heart center. And because this very cutting edge, these two hospitals are very cutting edge, after, let's say, you've had your surgery, you've done what you're going to do in the medical department, they then send you to a recovery center for a week to undergo the journey work to get to the emotional corollary of what caused the heart attack, what's caused the stress in your life. And they also do the same thing for the cancer to help you get to the emotional root cause of what co-created the illness in the first place.
Right.
And truthfully, I have to say honestly, my prayer is that people don't wait till they get a huge wake-up call like that. Mm-hmm. It was like life threw an anvil at my head, you know, and I didn't have a lot of time. And my prayer is that they give themselves the journey before it ends up manifesting down the line as serious illness.
And I want to stay with the role of emotions. So what role do emotions have, or how, in fact, do emotions have this deleterious effect on the body?
Well, biochemically, for every emotion that we feel, there's a different biochemistry. But there's something quite specific that happens when you repress an emotion, where you're at a peak of a strong experience. So let's, I remember I was in South Africa at the time, and the 9/11 had just happened in New York. Now I'm a New Yorker, and I ended up flying to New York as soon as they would let us fly in. And there were 28 journey practitioners who came with me. And I offered the journey intensive to anyone who had lost loved ones in 9/11, because I did not want for it to happen what happens biochemically to your body. I know that no one has ever given us a manual what to do in the face of a horrific catastrophe like that. And what we all do is we just shut down. We just sweep it under the carpet. We try to get on with our lives. None of us know how to deal with it. And my prayer was to really, I only got to reach 250 people. But my prayer was to clear out all of that so it didn't manifest as disease down the line. Now, interestingly enough, the American government kept tabs on those people who lost loved ones in 9/11. And they published the results 10 years later in the New York Times, a very highly regarded newspaper in the United States. And what it was published is that those people, the survivors who lost their loved ones, had off the Richter scale cancer. And it was published September 11, 2011. So 10 years later. Why? No one gave them a manual what to do in the face of that kind of huge trauma. And what did they do at the peak of that emotion? They shut down and that biochemistry was released. And 10 years later shows up as illness. So this is why I'm always so grateful to reach out to people, because we all have issues stored inside of us. And you don't have to have a big catastrophe like that to wait to give yourself a wake-up call, you know.
What is clearing? What does clearing work actually entail?
Okay, so the clearing work means you get access to the actual cell memory. So, for instance, when I went inside my tumor, the cell memory I got access to was a memory of violent childhood abuse. Now, obviously, being a therapist in life and being in this field my whole adult life, I thought I had cleared that issue. I thought I'd long since come to a place of acceptance of it. But the cell memory and the emotions attached, the ones that I had repressed, was still stored inside. And I had to go through a deep process of release and letting go and voicing all the things I didn't voice at the time, releasing the pain that I didn't have the ability to release at the time. And then ultimately I came to a place of forgiveness where while I was forgiving, I realized, you know, this tumor has never been clinging to me. Mm. I've been clinging to it.
Because
place of acceptance that I thought I had gotten to, it was just a big cover-up job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we become our story, don't we? Our identity becomes wrapped around our story.
Absolutely. And my identity was one of this noble, compassionate therapist who'd come to understand her past. And when I tried to open my heart to forgive, it actually hurt because I had to face down 30 years of pride dressed up as compassion and understanding and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And it hurt to face down that much pride.
Right.
But I eventually did open my heart. And when I wholeheartedly forgave, that's when I realized that tumor had never been clinging to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were clinging to it.
That's when my story, that my story of childhood, my blame game is the truth of it. My blame game was finally over.
Mm.
See, I whitewashed myself to believe that I'd come to this place of compassion and acceptance. That wasn't the reality. I'd never actually met the pain.
Mm.
I'd never really opened into the devastation, the rage, all the unspoken words.
Right.
I'd never done that.
Yes.
I'd just come to a place of accepting. My mother was in the Holocaust. She lost her dad in a concentration camp, and he was shot through the head, and her husband was shot down by the Luftwaffe, and that all her anger and rage was coming from that. So I'd justified all of her violence without ever actually meeting it. And that's what I mean about all of us have learned strategies that when something traumatic, upsetting, hurtful happens, we just shut down.
Yes.
We sweep it under the carpet. We explain it away. And what the journey enables you to do is to get real and to actually go back into that and go through that radical release and letting go.
Right. There's an executive in South Africa that wrote a book. He wrote a book about his own life story, his purpose. So it's a memoir, but with lots of lessons that he's learned along the way. And he experienced the journey intensive and writes about also picking up this book and how it led to him being a part of one of the workshops, right? And he talks in the book about how it helped him discover his purpose. So does this clearing work also take us to a point where we can have clarity on our purpose? And how important is it to have a purpose? I suspect many of us don't even know what our purpose is. Perhaps what we pursue is to live a life of meaning, you know, because this question of purpose and finding it can be such a pressure-inducing thought. When you speak to people, perhaps who know what their purpose is and you feel you don't have yours or you don't quite have an understanding of your own, it can bring about its own type of anxiety. So does the clearing work bring you to a point of clarity about your purpose?
It brings you to a clarity of who you really are. I mean, we all come in as what science has said, is that we all come in where we feel ourselves to be one with all of existence. We feel ourselves when we're born and a tiny infant, our awareness pervades all of life. And we feel ourselves to be part of all of existence as a oneness. And even when mother's hand comes before our eyes, an infant, a newborn infant, feels mother's hand is part of itself. There is no separation. But unfortunately, this enlightened awareness that we come in as, it gets covered over with a series of lies and limitations and painful memories and shutdowns. And then when we get to be adults, we cover the whole mess over with this polished facade, this polished veneer that we present to the world that says, no, no, I've got my act together, I'm responsible, I'm reliable. And then life gives us a wake-up call where you actually crack through this facade, which is probably what that executive was talking about, this polished, you know, mask that we're presenting to the world. And you end up spontaneously opening down through the layers of the pain, the lies, and the shutdown, and you end up eventually opening into your own soul, into a vast, boundless presence of peace, of love. And you realize it's been there all along, only we, all of us, bought into the layers that covered it. Huh. And then if you're very lucky, you fall so in love with the truth inside yourself that you'll do anything to clear whatever blocks you or holds you back or shuts you down on any level, so that this love that is your essence, the truth that is your soul, can live your life. Now, it's from this enlightened awareness, from this love, this peace, this truth, this oneness with all of existence, that our guidedness arises from in life, where we feel that we're living authentically at home in our own skin and listening to our own heart, to guide it to what it is we feel pulled to do in our life. And yes, of course, knowing who you are, knowing that you are this love, this truth, provides moment by moment meaning in your life. And it gives you a purpose to want to live from the freedom that is here, from the truth that is your essence. So the journey is known as much for liberating people and bringing them home to the sense of who they really are and bringing real meaning to their lives, so that they can live moment by moment connected to their own souls, living their life's purpose.
And that was my interview with Brendan Bays. He was in the country, in fact, over this past weekend, addressing South African audiences, or she was addressing a conference here in South Africa. I think it was Technologically, in fact. The book is called The Journey, and we'll put it up if you want to go back to listen to it to the very end, because there were a few more questions, especially the part about how her book should be treated and regarded, that it's not to pronounce on how one should approach their own disease, but this is how she went about it and the realizations that it brought into her life.